Today we're going to continue. I know we've been in our series on heritage, and we've been focusing on spiritual heritage, which is basically what if somebody would look at you and they were writing out your life, what would they say is your spiritual heritage? I don't know if you guys have ever done any life coaching, life planning, but some of the things they teach in life planning is that you start at what you want to be said at the end of your life. What do you want to be said about you spiritually? What do you want to be said about you, the type of person you were? What do they want to say about your relationships? And then you work backwards of planning your life that can be said about you at the end of your life. So we've been talking about those. And the thing that we realize in our sharing is that we have a choice. You can choose no matter what your upbringing, no matter what heritage you were given, you have a choice of what heritage you're going to leave. So you can make that difference. I know Victoria did an excellent job. She's back in the nursery today on sharing about the fragrance that you leave as a individual, as a family. And today we're going to talk about traditions, just the healthy traditions that we can have. And who has Christmas traditions? Things that you do on Christmas Day. I know most people do. I know we do. We got certain things. You know, first of all, we eat the Curtis's rolls. That's one of our things in tradition. And we read the gospel stories. So we have traditions that we have in our extended family. Also, there's certain movies. We have a list of movies we watch starting now, you know, and that we start going through movies we want to watch every year for Christmas. And each one of us, there's certain holidays you might celebrate, we don't even celebrate. You know, there's things you do that you might not call tradition, but there are traditions. You know, habits or things that you do, but there are traditions that you are sowing in. Some of you may have a tradition that you do every Monday. Some of you may have a tradition you do every Friday. It's Friday. Hey, you know, I've worked all week and Friday for those who don't have to work weekends. So we have different types of traditions and activities. The word tradition basically is defined as the transmission of customs or beliefs from generation to generation the fact of being passed on in some way. And I know I shared a few weeks ago that I have like 15 aunts and uncles. And they all have families, fairly, some of them are big families. So I have lots and lots of cousins. So in my culture and tradition was based in that. You know, based whatever the grandparents, whatever that have. And so there were certain things. And you know, and in your traditions, in your culture, a lot of times what we're looking for is value. We're looking for that affirmation of that I fit in, I'm a part of this. And I know in our family, there was in the most of the family, there were certain things that like hunting and fishing was a great big thing, and sports was a big thing, and music was a big thing. And so somewhere in there you try to find your identity. And I remember, I don't know, used to be, and I don't know if any schools do this, but used to be in high school on, I think it was the first day of hunting, was a free day off of school. If you went hunting, you were allowed. So I thought, hey, I'm going to get my license. I'm getting out of school for a day. So I remember going out and shot a rabbit. And I thought, I'm not going to do that again. That little thing was sitting there. I just killed it. Anyways, so that didn't work out too well. So, but there are traditions we have in this nation. For example, when we hear the Star Spangled Banner, what's most of the nation do? They stand and they sing. The 4th of July, we celebrate that. They don't celebrate the 4th of July in England. I don't know if you guys remember when we had a guest speaker here from England. He was standing up here and it was the 4th of July. And he said, I'm going to have to apologize if I don't celebrate this holiday with you. Because of their independence. And their sports tradition like this. OH. See? Now, you probably won't get that in Uganda. They're probably looking like you. What is he doing that for, you know? And typically, what happens in most baseball games, if you go to at least the professional and semi-pro games, what happens on the seventh inning? What song do you sing? Take me out to the ball game. That's right. So there's traditions that we have that's just in our culture. And traditions help us build a sense of identity, help build a sense of belonging. If we could, Jeff and Karen, if you guys could turn on the lights, we got a video we're going to share here about tradition that you guys might be familiar with this.
Sounds crazy, no? But here, in our little village of Anatevka, you might say every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a pleasant, simple tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up there if it's so dangerous? Well, we stay because Anatevka is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. Tradition!
Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition!
Because of our traditions, we've kept our balance for many, many years. Here in Anatevka, we have traditions for everything. How to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to wear clothes. For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl. This shows our constant devotion to God. You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know. But it's a tradition. And because of our tradition, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
Day and night must scramble for a living.
Now, I told Dina, I said, we probably should stop it there because the rest of the song gets into stereotyping family roles. And some of you might have a problem with what they're going to say. As far as what the husband role is, what the wife's role is, what the kid's role is, and all that. So, traditions. And, you know, and the thing is like he said, is that there's times when we wonder, where do these traditions even come from? Why do we have these traditions? There's traditions, though, can help us, again, remember our identity. Help us just remember in the culture. And, you know, in the Old Testament, God actually set in certain traditions, and a lot of it was to help them remember him. In the book of Deuteronomy, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And he goes on, he goes, I want you to talk about them. I want you to tell stories. I want you to share these. He goes, I want you to put symbols around and have things to look at to remind you. I want you to write them down and put them on the doorposts and do certain things just to help you remind them. And then he says, but be careful you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So traditions can help us remember who we are, who we're connected to. And in Israel, did they ever forget the nation of Israel? Very much so. In fact, in the book of Judges, chapter 2, it says that this whole generation came up who didn't do any of this stuff. They didn't practice traditions. They didn't go through and do anything to try to remember who they were. And it says because of that, they strayed off and they start worshiping. They start worshiping idols. They start losing their identity of who they are. The authors of this book that we've been working through called Your Heritage, they said this. It says, in today's culture, There is a movement to replace deep roots of legacy with shallow individualism. Now he says, in the name of personal freedom, we have enslaved ourselves to an endless pursuit of identity. I'm going to read that again. In the name of personal freedom, we have enslaved ourselves to an endless pursuit of identity. There is such a movement to say, find out, who am I? But you know, the definition's there if we want to accept it. It's in here. This tells you everything you need to know, for the most part, at least the foundational part of our identity and how we relate to God. But on the other hand, that we have to be careful that traditions can cause us to miss God, can cause us to lose out on God. Jesus, there was in Matthew 15, verse 2, the Pharisees were angry at him. He says, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Now, if I was in that audience, I go, yeah. That's because I was probably rebellious. But anyways, for God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that they what help they might have given to help their father and mother is to be devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. So we have to be careful. There's a balance there of, do these traditions that we have, are they promoting God's will? Are they promoting the life of the Holy Spirit? Are they promoting the abundant life and what he called us to be? Are they promoting us to be like Christ? Or are they suppressing that? Are they making us blind? And if you read in the scriptures, a lot of these traditions made the people can today even make us blind to the things of God, because it's not who we are. It's not where we have found our identity. In the book of Colossians, Apostle Paul wrote, see to it that no one takes you captive to hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition rather and spiritual and this elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. I believe that elemental spiritual forces is superstition. So there's things that we could be taken captive by tradition and superstition that keeps us from Christ. And that's not things, and it's something that I mean, we have to watch. Don't think, I mean, it happens, and I'll share that in a few minutes. It's so subtle to get sucked into things and be missing out on God and be sucked into habits and traditions that's not causing us to follow him. When referring to traditions, it's not just the fact we're referring to like empty rituals. We're talking about things that are fresh, things that have life. And in tradition, there could be rituals happening. But the goal of that is the fact that there's times when traditions need to be reshaped. They need to be updated. There's things we got to stop and think, is this life? Is this still helping me walk with God? Is this what's going on? You know, what's happening? There's certain foundational things that sometimes we just got to persevere through. Maybe I don't feel like coming to church service on Sunday, but I know it's something that's happening. I mean, it's something that God wants me to do. He says it in his word. He knows it's life. So there's things that's tradition. Sometimes I got to check my attitude. I got to change inside and the way that's going on to be. You know, in today's society, there's a lot of things in society that's trying to define us. In a tradition, we find our identity. In traditions, we can have that as long as they're healthy ones. But there's definitions. For example, the definition materialism tells us that we are only worth what we possess. Do you see that in society? Very much so. You know, or what necessarily, or maybe the talent you have. Or, you know, if you're a great actor or a great sports person or a great singer or whatever, now you must be worth something, so we're going to let you talk. But that's materialism. That's the world. Secularism attaches value on what we achieve, not what we are. See, these things, I have to watch these things. I have to be careful. You know, that these things, because they're so subtle to get into our belief system. Humanism says that we evolved from an electrically charged pool of slime, making us nothing more than sophisticated beasts. And honestly, that's what people are without God. If you want to know, read in Romans chapter 1. If you want to see what's going on in the world, read Romans chapter 1. Because whenever we deny God and who he is and the truth about him, that's what we become. Sophisticated beast. Socialism gives us value only if we contribute to the collective good. That's what socialism gives. So no wonder our society is suffering from an identity crisis. Because it comes, identity, who we really are, is going to come through knowing Christ and knowing what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 23, it says, you were bought at a price. I think we got that up there, maybe. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. We can enslave ourselves to other people. We can enslave ourselves to the culture and society. We can enslave ourselves to wanting to be noticed, wanting to have value, wanting to, and because of that, just as I was talking about my family, we can enslave ourselves to our families because we're wanting their approval. But what is God? We talked about that in the elders' meeting the other night. That when we have different values, maybe we don't celebrate things the way other people celebrate or believe things the way other people believe. There's a break in the fact that if I have my value based on that, there's a challenge there. So Lord, where am I going to get my value? If I don't receive approval and affirmation from them, where am I getting that? And that's why it's so important to have this relationship. So important to know we are loved and valued by God. Bottom line, first of all, 1 Peter 1:18 says, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. God put value on us. It's an eternal, his eternal economy is he put value on us. And one of the main things he did is he sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What greater value can we have? And he's called us sons and daughters if we believe in him. So he gave us this great, great opportunity to have value and find true value that we're not being pulled around here and there. In the book, if you've read it in the Old Testament, about Jacob and Jacob Deceiver was his name, basically, but he had a family, and in his family, he had the 12 tribes, 12 kids, and in his family, there was Joseph, and if you remember the story, Joseph was, his brothers sold him as a slave, staying in Egypt. Now, bottom line right there, I think, this family has dysfunctional issues. I mean, when you realize that they wanted to kill him first, and then they sold him into slavery. There's dysfunctional issues going on in here. And one of his brothers, though, helped him. So he got sold to Egypt, and then he became a ruler through God's grace and stuff in Egypt, and helped bring his family, because there was a famine, helped bring his family, Jacob and him, over to Egypt to provide for them. But the issue is that happened is they never left. The issue that happened is Jacob's family lost their identity. They got into Egypt. They got into the world. They got their needs satisfied. They got things. I mean, hey, our brother's the big shot. And our brother's he's the second in command. I mean, he's big, big dude here and stuff. They lost their identity of who they were. They lost their identity. They were God's called and special people. And what did they end up becoming? It didn't happen overnight. It actually happened over hundreds of years, a few hundred years. They became slaves. And instead of building the kingdom of God, they built the kingdom of the world. They built Pharaoh's idols and Baals and, you know, all the things in there. They lost that identity. And, you know, when Moses came in and delivered them and helped bring them out into God's identity, his destined identity for them, they didn't want to leave. Because they said, we want to go back to Egypt because we know that culture. We're comfortable there. We have our values there. We can eat. We know what we're going to eat. We're going to eat this stuff. I mean, not only was he changing their culture, he was changing their food diet. He was changing all kinds of stuff. He said, no, we can sit around the kettles and eat what we're used to. And so who cares if we're slaves? Who cares if we're, you know, that? We at least we're familiar with the area. That's what they were saying. Where God wanted them to take them into a whole new destiny. It can happen to us. Don't ever think, I know I look at that, don't ever think that whatever happened in this Bible can't happen to you. All the temptations, the failures, the things where people messed up, I look at it, I think, it's humbling to say, God, I could be that. I could have been very easily one of those complaining, grumbling people. I could have been Achan. I could have been Jacob. I could have been Reuben or one of the guys who threw his brother. I could have been any of these people. And hopefully, I mean, it does me. I look and I say, God, thank you for your grace that you gave me. That I know that, but I'm not foolish enough to think, God, help me that I don't fall into temptation. Help me, because I know we're still you. Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Holy Spirit lives in us. But we have to be aware that we don't so subtly get sucked in to things and tradition, things that won't help us lose or cause us to lose our identity or that break. That's why it's so important. It's so freeing when we have our identity in Christ. That's why Jesus was so free what he did. He wasn't looking for affirmation from the religious rulers. He wasn't looking for affirmation from people. He had the affirmation from his heavenly Father. And because of that, he was free to speak the truth in love. He was free to share what he wanted to share and do what he wanted to do because he wasn't controlled by things. He was wise. You know, he wasn't blatant. I mean, I look at this. Some people, you know, they think, well, you know, why did he leave this time? It says he left because they were going to kill him or something. Well, he's God. Why didn't he just stand up? Because it wasn't the will of the Father. His affirmation didn't come from him trying to prove something to the world or prove something to himself or to people or history that he was brave. His affirmation came because he obeyed the Father. And he did what the Father said. No matter how humbling it looked, how weak it looked, he did what the Father said. Now, traditions. There's things that we can do with the traditions. One of the things that help us build traditions is events. Having things that, what are we doing in life? Coming together on Sunday mornings like this. That's an event. Small groups, an event. Families gathering. There's things. And I share this for you to ask, what is going on in my life where I'm building traditions that's going to help me have a great legacy spiritually, emotionally, and socially? What events are happening? Do I have any events? Do I have any events socially where I'm even with anybody or trying to build any relationships? Or is there any events where I'm experiencing God together with his people? Stories. It's great to have stories, share stories, tell stories, talk to one another. Creeds. Do you have a creed, a thing that we're declaring? If you remember Joshua, remember what Joshua said in Joshua 24? He says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Do you have a creed in your life? As far as you, what are we going to do? What are we going to have? If we have a musician, come on up, please. There's a verse that we've shared many times here in the last few weeks. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. We can change. We can have things happen. If we could go ahead and stand. I like for us to say this together. I can change with God's help. You say that? Let's say it again. I can change with God's help. We could change. You don't have to feel like you're stuck. Don't ever feel like we're never stuck. If we're stuck, we choose to be stuck. The Holy Spirit, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, Bible says the Spirit came and the glory of God helps us continue to grow from glory to glory to be like Christ, to be transformed into his likeness. I don't know about you, I'm not there yet. And I know he can continue to work with me, and I want him to continue to. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to change? You know, I thank God that he's not a dictator leader. He's a loving leader. He knows, he's a shepherd. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the shepherd knowing their sheep. God knows you. He knows what's going to work with you is not going to work with me. Or what works with those, or works with Kathy, or works with Arthur, or with Holly, or whoever. Whatever works for you may not work for me. And we give him that freedom. We give him the freedom to be who he wants to be and help us to grow in him. So I want to pray a prayer here just for us as far as connecting to healthy relationships. I just welcome you to just receive from the Holy Spirit as we just pray, as just release this prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you, Jesus, you said you came that we may have life and have it to the fullest. Your desire is for us to be free. You said not to give ourselves back into slavery, God, but to be free in you. We welcome that, Father. We welcome your freedom. We ask that you would help us to have traditions and give us insight, Lord, on how to live a legacy, God, that glorifies you and it is a part of that abundant life, Lord, and spiritually and emotionally and socially, Lord, in every aspect. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good Father. We thank you, Jesus, you're a good shepherd. We thank you that you're our Father and our shepherd, and you continue to shepherd and care for us and feed us. As you said in your word, that we can lie down in those places of green pastures and by the still waters, God, and that our leaves are abundantly green all the time, and we bear fruit in season, Lord, and whatever we do prospers. We welcome that blessing, God. We thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name,